Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other
ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Again, we're sharing a message entitled Principles of True Love. Principles of True Love. We want you to know this morning that true love is sacrificial, true love is service, and true love is for sinners. True love is sacrificial. True love is service. And true love is for sinners. We want Christians to know today that Christians should love each other sacrificially. Christians should love each other sacrificially. Amen and praise the Lord. This month, and really Tuesday, is Valentine's, so love is on a lot of our mind. Those of us who are in a relationship, or especially us men, are trying to figure out what we're going to do to show our love to our wives, to let them know that they are truly loved. There are some who will be discouraged this Valentine's, and they will be depressed because they don't have true love. Either they are single or they're in a relationship that is not manifesting true love, and they are depressed. Because, after all, everybody at the sound of my voice wants true love in some way or some form. If not, wait till you grow up. And there's some children may not be able to relate to it, but wait till you grow up. And all children really want the true love of their parents. Hello, somebody. Everybody wants true love. Whitney Houston died yesterday, I believe, around 4 o'clock. And many of us reminisce on some of the songs that she sung about love. One of them was The Greatest Love of All. And another was, How Will I Know If He Really Loved Me? And she was known for many of her love songs. And love songs echo the human heart's cry. There are some women here today, they're in a long-term committed relationship, but they are not married, and as a result, they don't feel true love. Because this man or this woman has not really committed to them. And this month, I want to make a statement or stand for marriage. Marriage is a God-given institute by which true love is meant to be displayed. As a matter of fact, it is the greatest institution into which true love is meant to be displayed. And God challenged the man, and we're going to go through this a little later in Ephesians, to love that woman as Christ loved the church, which is a sacrificial kind of love. It's not a selfish kind of love. It's not a love that keeps its options open. See, a lot of times men don't want to get married because there are so many women around and they want to keep their options open. Hello, somebody. And they get this woman to be their trophy wife, and they can still say, well, we're not really committed. We're not really married. And he keeps his options open, and he will never get married because he is a playboy. And playboys like to play with as many women as they can. And the sad point about marriage in our culture is if you don't have that man there in that family displaying what true love is, that girl will grow up and accept anything. If she didn't see her daddy love her sacrificially, she will grow up and accept anything, a partial commitment as opposed to a whole commitment. Hello, somebody. A whole commitment is marriage in and of itself. It might get hot in here for somebody, but I'm trying to get men to grow up. Statistics tells us that 70% of our households do not have a man in it, but I can almost guarantee you in those same families, probably 50% of the 70% have children in it, which means there's a man uncommitted somewhere. Ooh, let me say that. There's a man that's uncommitted somewhere. And true love is a commitment. True love is something that's willing to commit. And if you don't have true love, then you've been in a long-term relationship. You need to think about getting out. Hello, somebody. If you want true love. Hello, somebody. He won't even commit to been with you 20 years living and raising a family, but still have his options open. Hello, somebody. Now, I know that there's some folk, and it's not about options, it's about finances. You don't want to get married because the government is taking care of you. Hello, somebody. You better trust the government as opposed to trusting God. Hello, somebody. You better trust the government as opposed to trusting that person that you're going out with, because you know he really no good in the first place. Hello, somebody. There's some older couples that won't get married because of Social Security. They don't want to get hit. Hello, somebody. They don't want their money to get cut. And as a result, they start to cohabitate. And they will not do what God has called us to do. Which is to marry. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. Hello, somebody. But he's not telling you to go out and just marry anybody, because he also says do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So you just can't go out and marry anybody, but you need to marry somebody that loves God, somebody that's willing to commit to you, somebody that's willing to sacrifice for and to you. Hello, somebody. I know it's hot in here. Nelly says it's getting hot in here. Hello, somebody. But we have to make a safe for marriage, because that family institute was instituted even before the church. Hello, somebody. And God wants every child to be loved. God wants every woman to be loved. And that's why he established this institution of marriage, because he wanted his love to be displayed to every woman, every boy, and every child. Hello, somebody. And that's why we have our cultures turned upside down, because there is no true love and there is no marriage. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better think about breaking up or getting married. One of the two. Because if you can live holy as a single person, God loves that. He would rather you to be single-mindedly devoted to the Lord than anything. But most of you are like me when I was single. I was burning. Hello, somebody. Which means I didn't have the gift of singleness, and I had to find me a fan mama jamma like Sister Etan to marry. Who loved the Lord. Hello, somebody. And wore those nice fancy hats. Hello, somebody. But God has instituted marriage, and it's the primary way into which we are to show true love. And if you love that woman, you will marry her. And if you love your children, you will marry they mama. Hello somebody. The devil has been footloose and fancy free in many of our marriages. And that's why many of our children grow up and have to go through the same drama that some of us have gone through and trying to find true love. Hello, somebody. But God has led me to a text this morning that's a kind of a unique text. I struggled with them, and I said, Lord, this is not a traditional text to teach on true love. But he said, preach the word. And so we come in the church today, and we have a young lady that's a very controversial text, especially for church folk, especially for religious people, because Jesus allowed a woman to touch him that was a woman that had a reputation of being a sinner. Hello, somebody. And this woman heard that Jesus was in town, and she heard about Jesus being in town, and she barged in. Really, she didn't really have an invitation. She just barged in, for lack of a better term. She just barged in the church service. Hello, somebody. And she barged in the church service, and she gave an offering. Hello, somebody. Oh, be careful when God starts to work and move within your church, because you'll get some folk that will barge in and want to serve God. They'll barge in before they come before the church and say, I want to be a member of this here church. When sinful folk get served, they'll barge in, and they don't know the protocol. They didn't know the protocol and who to call in the church. She didn't know the protocol and who to call to trust Jesus. She didn't know the protocol and who to call to give an offering. She didn't know any of that. All she seemed to have was a love for Jesus. She got saved outside of the church, and she came in and barged in the church. Oh, and when she barged in, she wanted to give. When she barged in, she wanted to serve. Hello, somebody. Anybody that's truly been saved, oh, they'll barge in this place, and they want to give. Anybody that's truly been saved, they'll barge in this place and want to serve somewhere. Hello, somebody. And they will not realize that you know them by their past. Ooh, hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They won't realize that you, because they got their eyes focused on Jesus. They won't realize that you know their past. You know that she was a hoochie mama, and why is she trying to touch the preacher? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. It's dangerous when revival hits, because controversial people will start to show up. Controversial people who got saved out there will begin to show up in this place. And that controversial could cause a stir amongst the church. Unless we've got mature people who know God can work. Unless we have mature people who know who was on their 10 most wanted list. Unless we've got mature people who can call it out and say that I've been praying for this. Oh, don't you touch him. Don't you touch her. I've been praying for the last 5 years for this person to get saved, and now they're here. But they got a bad reputation. They got a bad reputation in the community, but now they're here. They want to give offerings. They want to touch the feet of the preacher. Hello, somebody. And that's what happened. But it seems that God wants us to know that this newbie, if you would, came in, and this newbie in the church is going to show us how to show true love, to show true love towards one another, to show true love towards our mates, to show true love towards our children, to show true love towards that boss at work that you hate, to show true love to that neighbor that can't stand you and you can't stand them. Oh, she's going to show, because her sacrifice gave her a testimony that would echo throughout the time, even unto this time, because of her sacrifice. The text says, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. Hello, somebody. The woman in that town who lived a sinful life. The woman in that town, that little town called Paul's Valley, who lived a sinful life. Oh, she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. Wow, she didn't know how dangerous it would have been. Because again, she don't know anything about church. She don't know how dangerous church can be. Don't you know church can be a dangerous church? Most of us experience hurt. And the greatest hurt that you can experience is what I call, and other preachers call, church hurt. It's where people who you think should know better begin to act up. People who you think should be mature enough begin to act up. People who you think and who's been around, who knows the prayers, know how to pray, the public prayers, know all the protocol and who to call. These folk can sometimes be the most dangerous folk to be around. Because she didn't know nothing about the church. She just barged her way in at the Pharisee's house. Hello, somebody. And she didn't come empty-handed. I said she didn't come empty-handed. She came with an offering. Don't you know that every Sunday that you come to the household of the Lord, you're not supposed to come empty-handed. Hello, somebody. You're not supposed to come empty-handed. As a matter of fact, you should be bringing your offering. Hello, somebody. Oh, you get paid every week. You need to bring your offering with you every Sunday. Hello, somebody. You get paid every 2 weeks. You need to bring your offering. You get paid once a month. Don't miss that first Sunday. Hello, somebody. Oh, I can tell you by experience, you can have even a good heart and want to bring it back. But before it's all over, the devil would have robbed God of his tithes. Hello, somebody. But we've got to remember, when we come to worship God, we come saying that he is worthy. And the way that we say that he is worthy is that we bring an offering. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, that you bring an offering this morning. True love will offer you something. Hello, somebody. True love, oh, and it won't just be something, because some of us bring a dollar. That's really not an offering. That's a tip. Hello, somebody. And we are known for tipping God. We tip the waitress how much? 15% to 20%, some of us. Oh, but when it comes to the household of God, we want to tip God. And really, God really wants us in our church covenant. And what we teach is, we're just saying, you should just give a dime on every dollar. Well, hello, somebody. And a side offering every once in a while, like to the building fund. Hello, somebody. But we tip they are more than we tip God. Hello, somebody. Oh, but she didn't come this day even with her 10%. She didn't come this day with her 20%. She came this day. She had a lavish offering. This sinful woman that hadn't been in the church. She came and did what the children was trying to tell us and sing it, that God wants it all. Hello, somebody. And she gave it all. all that she had that was worth something. An alabaster jar of perfume. This is not just regular perfume. This is perfume. This is that expensive stuff. Hello, somebody. Some of you women know what perfume, the difference between perfume and perfume. You know, hello, somebody. So you can get a perfume. Well, before I met Sister Eton, I got my cologne at Dollar General. Hello, somebody. Sister Eton has upgraded me a little bit. Hello, somebody. But this wasn't that cheap stuff. This wasn't that $5 stuff. This was worth something. This was a literal sacrifice. True love sacrifice. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, true love sacrifice. And she sacrificed it. Hello, somebody. John gives us a name and gives us a little more commentary on John chapter 12, verse 3. Then Mary took about a pint of what? Pure nard. Hello, somebody. What? An expensive perfume. And what did she do? Did she put it in the church safe? Hello, somebody. Did she tell it, put it up and say, don't nobody touch it? Hello, somebody. What did she do? She offered it. She what? She poured it on Jesus' feet. Hello, somebody. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
One of the disciples would have said, now you get a chunk of that offering, and we're going to get a whole lot of money for that offering. And you just want to pour it out on the feet of Jesus. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Is there anybody here that's willing to pour it out, to give it all to Jesus? It's expensive. It's the best thing that I have. It's my income tax check. Hello, somebody. He said, preacher, move on, preacher. We don't want to hear none of that, preacher. We don't want to hear none of that. That's the way I'm going to take my vacation, Reverend. Don't want to hear none of that. I'm going to get them new rims for my car. Don't want to hear any of that. I got my eyes on a new sofa set. Don't want to hear that, Reverend. That's down payment, Reverend, for my new car. Hello, somebody. I want to be like Sister Eton and give me a First Lady Mobile. Hello, somebody. but she had it, and it was expensive, and she brought it to the church, and she poured it out. She gave a lavish offering. When was the last time you gave it all? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Sometimes when God bless me, I look around and I see whether he wants me to use that whole offering for somebody else. One time I had an opportunity to preach and they blessed me, and there was a young lady trying to raise money to go on a mission field, and I said, oh Lord, this was what that was for, and I forwarded on. When was the last time you paid it forward? When was the last time you gave it all? You think every time God bless you, it's just for you? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You need to get out that mindset. Maybe with that income tax check, maybe you should say, Lord, who is this really for? Is it for me? Is it for Bethlehem's building fund? Is it for somebody else? What is this really for? I want to show true love. I love my church. I love for missions. I love for this young lady that needs a little help that's trying to make it through college. And I see that this person is fat. What does that mean? Faithful, available, and teachable. Therefore, I want to forward it on to them, so that they may have a testimony about how God may provide. I don't even have to put my name on it. I can just send it in an empty letter, and then they'll never know, and they'll be able to give God the glory. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. When was the last time you gave an expensive offering? When was the last time you gave it all?
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. When was the last time God wants you to do it this time? It's sad that this woman wasn't even a member of the church. Hello. She just heard Jesus was there. And that's why we want to make him known within this church. Oh, I told you that before this year is over, people should show up and they should come in here and they should be literally looking for Jesus. Where is he? They talk about him like he's alive and well. They serve him like they can see him. She heard that Jesus was in the place, and she came and brought an expensive offering, and that's a sign of true love. Single women, if they want you to go on a date, Dutch, he probably not the one. Reverend, you better pay the bill, the whole bill. Hello, somebody. Oh, because hey, they show you where you're. No! If he's going to be an image of true love, guess what? Jesus paid it all. Hello, somebody. It was a lavish sacrifice. He paid it all. So the next time you go on a date with a single brother and he say, I want your hand, you better say, you better pay it all. Hello, somebody. Pay all. When I was Sister Eton, I paid it all. Whether it was a good restaurant or a bad restaurant, I paid it all. I had to show her that I was willing to sacrifice for her. And really, I did, because most of the time, I ate at McDonald's. So I had to set my game up to win Sister Eton over. Hello, somebody. I had to step it up. Step it up. Some of you single brothers say, preacher, get out of my pocket. Get out of my pocket, preacher. She gave it all. A sacrificial gift. And you better watch that person that you're dating. If they're not giving, especially if he's a man, if he's not giving sacrificially, he's probably not the one. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, he's not the one. He's too cheap. I'm very cheap. And I'm very cheap. I am. I really am. If you see me with anything that looks worth something, Sister Eton got it. Hello, somebody. Because I'm very cheap. Hello. But when it comes to her, hey, I can get lavish. Hello, somebody. When it comes to her, hello, somebody. Oh, and she always drove our best car. Hello, somebody. I won't spend over $15,000 for a car. But when it comes to her, hello, somebody. I get lavish. Hello, somebody. That's true love, sacrificial love. Oh, that single brother know how to know it's going to cost you something to be with me. Hello, somebody. It's going to cost you financially, single women, and it's going to cost you holiness. Hello, somebody, because I'm not going to let you have the goodies. Hello, somebody, until you've sacrificed for it, which means until you marry me. Hello, somebody. And then that's why these brothers are talking about you behind your back and calling you a hood rat. Hello, somebody, because they can get anything from you. Your body, your money, your... Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. No! Any of my spiritual daughters, it's just got to cost them something to be with you. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Don't give yourself away like you are cheap. You're not cheap. You're a daughter of the King. Hello, some. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. So we have to say, in the words of, though she's not a good theologian, in the words of Beyonce, if you like it, you better put a ring on it. Hello, somebody. It's sacrifice. It's got to cost you something. I'm not cheap. My God's not cheap. Jesus wasn't cheap. He paid it all. Hello, somebody. I didn't have to do nothing. He paid it all. All I had to do was receive the gift. Hello, somebody. True love is sacrifice. sacrificial. And in this text, this woman sacrificed. She gave this expensive gift, and she poured out unto our Savior. True love is a love that's sacrificial. Say, preacher, I don't want to get married. Oh, that's okay. Don't have nothing to do with you anyway. Sacrifice. Hello, somebody. Yeah, it's going to cost you something. But, preacher, I got a lot of money. Well, if the relationship don't work, it should cost you to get out. It should cost you to get in, and it should cost you to get out. Hello, somebody. Men today want to pay nothing to get in it and nothing to walk away from it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Love, true love is sacrifice. You say, move on, preacher. You're hurting me. Principles of true love. The next principle is service. Yes, sir. Not only did she give an offering and she poured it out, but the text says, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. She was willing to serve. She's willing to serve. She humbled herself. She humbled herself. And many of us today, we really can't be used of God because we're not really to humble ourselves to actually serve. To humble ourselves to get our hands dirty. Hello, somebody. To humble herself. She in the text was like some of us after the children's song. He wants it all. After the mime's mind. Oh, about being in his presence. It brought some of us to tears. And she was there at Jesus' feet. And she was worshiping. She was there at Jesus' feet. And it brought her to tears. Oh, so much so. It was enough tears to wipe his feet. Hello, somebody. Are you ready to cry enough in this church to wipe some folk's feet? Are you willing to cry enough in this church to wipe Jesus' feet? And get you, reminds you, the principle of this love is not the feet wiping in and of itself. The feet wiping was meeting a practical need. They lived during a sandy time, and they wore sandals. When they got ready to go and have dinner, they would wash their bodies. And when they washed their bodies, their whole bodies would be clean. But when they walked out, and normally that's the way they got to a different place. They didn't have cars like we have. They began to walk. And though their whole body was clean, they'd get to the place where they were to have dinner, and their feet would be dirty. And a host, into which we are the convention, says that we were the perfect host. We've hosted in a way that has never been done before, and that's because some of us was crying, some of us was willing to wash and wipe some feet. No, we didn't wash some literal feet, but we served, and when we served, people began to appreciate it. They appreciate us all over this state because we were willing to serve. We were willing to allow God to use us to serve. But when they got to the house. You see, this Lord's Supper and table is not a rendering of what really went on during that time. The tables were lower, and they would have to sit down, and they would recline, and they would be around those tables with their big 10.5 feet with all kind of dirt and mud on it. Hello, somebody. You know how uncomfortable that is to be ready to sit down for dinner. You know, I give me a shower before I get dinner, and I don't even get my feet dirty most of the time. Hello, somebody. But Jesus and the rest of those disciples were sitting down around that table, and his feet were dirty. As a matter of fact, it would be like us today running out of food. free without the same conviction that we ran out of food. I didn't know how important that was. And most people who work in the culinary ministry, the one thing they don't ever want to do is run out of food. See, before I came pastor, I really didn't care. You know, you should have came sooner. Hello, somebody. But until we went, and visited another church, and we're not going to call his name, and we got out of service, and we tried to get there, and got on the van, and we got to the place, and what? They didn't have any food for us. Hello, somebody. Maybe that was why some of us was falling out during the service. Well, it was a bad service, boy. And then I realized why we don't run out of food. God showed me that. There was a big thing not to do. You should always have somebody there to wash your guest's feet. That's right. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You said, Marlon, that's the service. It's the principle of service. The way you wash somebody's feet today is not to get me to take off these shoes and socks and wash my feet. My feet are probably already clean. That's not the way you wash people's feet today. You wash some folks' feet today. Maybe somebody that needs some medicine and don't have a car, then you go and you get and you do that. Hello, somebody. Oh, if there's somebody in the church and they're sick and set in and their lawn needs to be mowed, that's washing feet. It's meeting a practical need. Maybe they're sick in their body and they can't go grocery shopping. Now, that's washing feet. You come over there and say, let me, grocery shop for you. That's truly washing feet. It's meeting a practical need. And in this text, not only was her gift lavish, but her gift was practical. Hello, somebody. It was a practical gift. It was what needed to be done. And that's what true service is. And true love will learn to serve one another in a practical way, in practical service. If you want to show your true love, in your marriage relationship, maybe this Valentine's Day you don't give a chocolate that you don't like anyway. Hello. Maybe you say, honey, I'm going to start taking out the trash for you. You say, you're doing that already? You got a good man. You got a good man. Honey, I'm going to start paying the bills with my money. And you keep your money. Hello, somebody. Do what you want with it, honey. Go get a pedicure and a manicure. Get your new hat and dress. Go out and get your, I'm getting some folk in trouble. Let me move on. Hello, somebody. But in the text, it was practical service. True love is very practical. What it's like you dating a man. And you don't have a car, and he won't ever take you nowhere where you need to go. He's just showing you how he's going to be in marriage. Hello, somebody. Practical service. And that's what true love is. It's a practical service. It gives what needs to be given. It does what needs to be done. Jesus Christ gave us a practical service because there was nobody who was worthy to die for the sins of the world. We needed a perfect man to die. But there was no perfect man. So God had to come, get off that throne. And come and manifest himself as a man and do this practical service to die for the sins of the world. And if you're married to a man that's not willing to die, you need to pray. Single women, you got to marry a man that's willing to die. Die to himself, die to his selfish ways, and be willing to sacrifice for the family. Die to from his selfish ways and be willing to serve the family. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that's what she did in the text. Luke 7:44 puts more on it. Then she turned towards the woman and said to Simon, Jesus was telling them what really happened because they didn't really know. He said, do you see this woman? I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet. This was an insult. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Talking about humility. Are you willing to humble yourself and become a true servant of God regardless of who else is looking? Hello, somebody. Regardless that you got the big wigs in the house, are you willing to serve? Are you willing to do what needs to be done? Hello, somebody. And she did it. She didn't have water, but she had tears. Oh, she didn't have a towel, but she had her own hair. Wow. God always leaves you something to serve him with. You might say, I don't have anything to serve. Yeah, he always gives you something to serve him with. Hello, somebody. Lastly, before I keep us too long, true love is for sinners. The text says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. As her great what? Love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. One of the greatest ways that you know whether a person has a true relationship with God is that they are a lavish giver. They give their money and they give their service. That's a sign of true salvation. That's a sign of that you truly love God. It's not just sending your money alone. It's serving. It's not just serving alone, but it's giving. Hello, somebody. If you say that you love Bethlehem, let me look at your giving. To which I don't know how much who gives. But that's the bottom line of many preachers do know. Some preachers won't even let you serve in leadership if you're not giving. Hello, somebody. If you truly love the Lord and the principles of true love that helps us, oh, to apply this to our church members, apply it to our church, apply it to our church members, apply it in our lives, in our marriages, is that we've got to be sacrificial lovers. We've got to be, oh, lovers who serve. We've got to be, a love, show our love towards God so much that sinful folk want to get saved. And really, that's the mystery of marriage. I'm going to teach on that a little later. The mystery of marriage is that the marriage is a model. The marriage is an image, if you would, of Christ's love towards the church. Hello, somebody. Now you can go ahead and give God a hand clap of praise. And the reason why we're having so many and so much messed up stuff in our communities is we've gotten away from the image of marriage. We've gotten away from the model of marriage. Don't you know that marriage is evangelism? Hello, somebody. Marriage is evangelism. You want to make him known. Love your wife. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Some of us can't make them known because we don't love our wives and we're running all over town out to these hood rats. Hello, somebody. And everybody in town knows you don't love your wife. Oh, a man. Oh, Anita Baker. Was it Anita Baker that said, love should have brought you home last night. Love should have been with you. Love should have been right by your side. Hello, somebody. And even the secular world knows what true love should be. True love is one man committed to one woman for the rest of his life. Hello, somebody. Oh, many men say they want a ride or die chick, but are you a ride or die dude? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Are you willing to commit, regardless of whether I'm happy or not, regardless of whether I get my needs met or not, I'm going to love this woman, oh, for the rest of my life. Oh, I'm going to love her as Christ loved the church, and Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? He died for the church. And not only that, but he lived for the church. Hello, somebody. Many of us say, oh, this Valentine's Day, we'll be singing that song. Oh, the Prince used to say, oh, you, I would die for you. Oh, like Bruno Mars, something about I step in front of a train for you. Hello, somebody. Lying to you. Hello, somebody. Somebody. The true love is for sinners. He set this up, this great evangelism too called marriage, to show the world of God's love. And there's no greater testimony like the testimony of the pastor I get to preach for, my wife's real pastor there in Houston, Texas. She became terminally ill. Oh, she can't do nothing. But guess what? This man of God is still committed to her. And he's with her and by her side. And he loves her so much. Even though he can't get his own needs met, he loves her. Oh, and that's the kind of love you want to have. You don't want to be like that brother that asked that sister to marry him. And he found out he had cancer. And she broke off the engagement. Hello, somebody. That's not true love. True love says, I'm going to be with you through it all, in it all, with it all. Oh, we're going to ride or die for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to love you all the days of my life that the Lord gives me breath. Hello, somebody. Can I get my own needs met or not? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And that kind of testimony will tell the world about the kind of God that you serve. Hello, somebody. Boy, is that an image? If he can do that for, is that what God did for me? Hello, somebody. Then that means that even though how bad a life I lived, I was a gangster. No matter, I was a prostitute. No matter what I did, you mean God is so committed. From God is a ride or die God. He's going to be with me and love me regardless of everything that I've done in my past. He's a ride or die God. And regardless of my failed, regardless that I blow it, as long as I confess my sins unto him, do you mean that he will have fellowship with me? That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, there's always consequences for sin. Hello, but you can be forgiven for every sin that you have committed. You can be like this sinner woman in the text, and you can come up and get a seat on the front row in Jesus' name. And you can bring your offering regardless of your past. You can serve the Lord regardless of your past. Your life can be a great testimony about how God can take somebody with a bad past and use them and boast on them. Hello, somebody. We would have never known what this woman done if she wasn't truly in love with Jesus and gave a sacrificial gift and served him sacrifice. We would have never known who she was. But God said, I'm going to take this testimony and I'm going to tell it to the rest of the generations until I come, because this woman is symbolic of what I'm trying to do on the earth. I'm trying to love them so much that they'll turn from their wicked ways and begin to offer me true sacrifice and begin to serve me. Love is for sinners. But the saints like to keep it amongst ourselves. The saints, a lot of saints don't want to grow. Oh, if we grow, somebody will be in my seat. Hello, somebody. If we grow, somebody will park in my parking lot. No, true love was meant to share with the world. True love. And that's how we make him known. Hello, somebody. Bethlehem. 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 Make him known through true love. There's some folk listening, and you've got to make a decision right now. You've been living in ways that you shouldn't have been living. The old folk used to call it sacking. Oh, living together, and you're here every Sunday, and God is saying, I want a greater testimony. I want a greater sacrifice. I want to make you a greater witness. Now it's time to get your house in order. Now it's time for you to be committed like Christ was committed, and you need to get your life and yourself together, because it's not about you, no way. It's about me. You've been a bad witness, but I want to make you a greater witness. I want to use you to reach more folk in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's time to show true love in Jesus' name. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Saints are praying. Deacons, will you come? I'm so glad that my Savior was able to show his true love. True love is expensive. True love is sacrificial. So much so that when he was in that Garden of Gethsemane, he had to pray, Lord, nevertheless, not my will. He begged that this cup would pass him by. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm willing to sacrifice. When he prayed that prayer, he got up from his prayer closet, met some men that would call him everything but a son of God, put him on trial, mocked him, scorned him, beat him, put a crown of thorn on his head, put a cross on his back, and led him through the streets of Jerusalem. What a sacrifice, and what a service, and it was all done for sinners like you and me. He carried that cross to a hill called Golgotha. And when he got to that hill, they nailed him to that cross. And they raised him up through between two thieves. Which shows us that God loves us this much. He was willing to die for our sins. They couldn't take his life, so he had to give up the ghost. Took him down off that cross. Put his body in a borrowed tomb. He died for you and for me. Now that's true love. True love, true sacrifice, true service for a true sinner like me. But I'm so glad that the Bible tells me that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. And when he got up, he got up for you and for me. That somebody today will realize that he died. That true love is for sinners like you and me. If you do not know him and the pardon of his sins, if you don't have a personal relationship with God, step out of your seats and say, preacher, I want to know true love. Preacher, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And maybe somebody else here today. Maybe you've accepted him, but you have not obeyed him and taken that first step of obedience, which means to be baptized. That's your first step of service. If you truly love him, guess what? You'll obey him. He said in his word that if you love me, keep my commandments. You need to be baptized. Maybe there's somebody here today, you don't have a church home. somebody here today. They need prayer. I want to do the right thing, but I need to pray because I've been living wrong for so long. I need to pray that God will
Hello
give me
again,
the strength
this is
the
Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program.
An image of
before
truth,
we sign
love,
off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal Maybe relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet Him on His terms. And His terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Falls Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home, and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This
and
is Pastor
praise
Michael Eaton,
the
senior
Lord.
Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life is changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how He's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program. And I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. I'm not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.